Hey guys, and welcome back to the Black Broke Banker with your host, Courtney, that Black Broke Banker. If y'all hear anything in the background, it's the Wally Show, and Wally has decided to sing I Can't Complain. I love Wally, and I love watching YouTube, and shout out to the Wally Show, but Wally really, we really have a testimony during my episode. But anyways, welcome back, guys, and if you are returning, welcome back, and if you're new, welcome in. So, sorry, y'all, I'm trying to listen to Wally and do this at the same time, because I want to hear what Wally's got to say, but Wally and the singing kind of threw me off. So, anyways, welcome back, guys, and welcome in if you're new, and guess what, guys, I recorded a whole episode and forgot to save it. Like, I know I've been gone for a while, and it's just because I have not known what to even, like, record. I haven't known, I'm working on a second podcast, and I'm working on editing for that podcast as well, but I don't know the premise of this podcast, and I recorded 3 different episodes. One of them was just a very, very, very sensitive topic, and I'm a sensitive person, but I like to laugh about stuff. So when I find a way to bring that topic to the table and make it less sensitive, make it less, you know, making you feel sad when you leave the podcast, I'll talk about it. But right now is not the time, because I ended the podcast in tears, and I don't like that. It's the tears for me. I don't like that, okay? So anyways, the second episode that I recorded was this morning, and it was flipping awesome, and I forgot to save it. So I don't know what made me go back and look at my Anchor app to see. You know, I think I was going to go ahead and start editing it before my friend called me today to help him, and it wasn't there. So I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. So I'm back again with yet another episode. In that last episode, I just pretty much basically touched on how I became the Black Broke Banker. But before I touch on that, I want to first ask you guys, how was your week prior? Mine was good. It was different, but the same. One of my coworkers was on a much needed vacation, and I'm glad she's coming back tomorrow, but then my other coworker will be on a much needed vacation, so I'll be on the platform 90% of the time this week, and it was okay. It was all right. That's all I can say. It wasn't as bad as we had anticipated it to be. At least I think it wasn't as bad. Now, you may ask my coworker, and she might be like, oh, it was worse than what I anticipated. But to me, I thought it was going to be a lot worse, and it wasn't. So I'm going into this week ready to take over and kick butt. I got my calls done early this week. I was so happy. We were off Monday because it was Labor Day. And I think I got all my calls done Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, because we're normally closed on Wednesday, but we had to work last Wednesday due to being off on Monday. Like, they just don't never want us to be great, because if I had been off, I would have been off 3 days last week, which would have been Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So I would have only worked Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I'd only worked 3 days. But MDZ ain't trying to let nobody be great, honey. She ain't trying to let nobody be great, child. So she was like, y'all need to open up on Wednesday. So anyways, that's what happened. But it kind of worked in my favor, because like I said, I was able to get like my calls and stuff done. I was just back to the old Courtney that was out there killing it before we got our cool off period. And I don't know if I said this in the last episode or not, but when I'm gone from something for a while, it takes me a while to adjust back to it. So I know I've been like my coworkers' like worst nightmare, asking, how do you do this? What do you do this? Where do you go with this? What do you do with that? Because that week I was off, like we get a half hours off. You best believe I didn't do nothing. I sat at this house. I didn't even think about my job. Like, I got a call from my coworker asking me some questions, but that's another story for another day. But anyways, I didn't even think about that place. So it's like, when I got back, I was like, how do I do this? What do I do? Like, people are probably like, she is so off. And you are right. I am. But once I get taken out of my groove, it takes a while for me to get back into it. And I think I'm slowly starting to step back into it. The week before that, the Friday before last week, or before that Monday that I was off, I went back and worked at my home center. And I say my home center because it's a quick story time for you. So we have two branches in my town or city for the bank I work for. And I'm going slow because I'm trying to choose my words wisely without disclosing where I work at. But anyways, I worked at the one that was on one side of town, which is 5 minutes away from my house. And when I was working there, first we went to getting our hours cut back. So we were allowed to open at 10 and we closed at 4 every day, and we were still the same on Saturdays. But then we go to work, I want to say the next week. It happened in March. So we go back to work, I want to say the next week or the week after that, and we find out, guess what, guys? We're all merging. Due to COVID, we're merging. It wasn't going to be a permanent thing, but it was just going to be a merge because it was going to be safer, because the company that I work for wanted to be able to keep their lobby open to the public, but also keep the exposure down for COVID. So what is the best thing to do? Let's make the bigger branch be the only branch for now. So that was fun. We did that from April till July. And we were back at our home branch in July. Oh, and the branch they sent us to is the branch that's 2 minutes from my house. So we were back at our home branch for 2 weeks. And they decided they were going to shut our home branch back down. And because of my lack of transportation, which we'll get into later on this episode, but due to my lack of transportation, I got lucky. I got to go back down to the one that was 2 minutes from the house. The rest of my coworkers were getting sent 40 miles away, with the exception of two of them, because two of them didn't live that far from the other branch. So I got sent back to that one. And when I got sent to that one, I worked maybe like 4 days, and we got sent out for a cool off period. So my old coworkers from my home branch had to come from the branch they were helping at and run the branch that we were at. So my wonderful, wonderful job decided that they can't go and do the AB merge like they were going to do at first. So they opened back up my home branch, made it drive-through only, kept me at the branch that I'm subbing at now. But then what ended up happening is that one of my coworkers that went back to the home branch, because I think only four, because there's six of us, and only four went back. So one of my coworkers that went to the home branch, she needed off or something like that, and I worked for her. Yep, I worked for her, and I ran a drive-through. And if you guys know anything about me and the teller line, then you know race past the teller line. But I did it for 8 hours, and I was cool with it, like, because I was like, I'm going to take my time. I don't care about these 5 lines of cars back here. But I actually was proud of myself, because I would run one line, and my manager was running one line, and I was getting my people out of my line, and I was taking my time, like, literally taking my time, because I was just like, I'm not messing up, I'm not being out of balance for nobody's impatience, and I'm not getting a strike on me because of anybody's impatience. I'm just not doing that. So that's my story of how my week and weeks prior to that went, but it's been okay. I've been good. Customers have been okay. They're still the same though, you know, still asking questions, and I put myself in the shoes of the customers, and some of these questions I would ask myself. But anyways, let's jump right into the episode. So as I promised, I was going to tell you guys how I became the Black Broke Banker. I told you guys how I became a banker. I told you guys how I even got into this field and everything. But you guys are probably wondering, how did I get broke if I work in the banking industry? Well, some of your banks don't pay a lot. Some of them pay okay. I always tell people, banking is an industry that you can get into without a college degree and make okay, make decent. There's several parts of the banking industry that you do have to have a college degree for, and you will make bank, but the part that I work in, I make okay. So I took my job with the company that I work with now on April the 19th. I never forget, because, I started that day, but I took it. I accepted the offer. Was it early part of April? I had accepted the offer. Or was it March? I don't know. I accepted the offer for 2 weeks before I got the job. So it was April. I remember exactly when it was, y'all. I accepted the offer for this job on March 27th. And I know why. Because it was my sister's birthday. So I had to go through the process of, you know, figuring out they were going to rescind my offer, because I don't know if you guys know or not. I had my offer rescinded the prior year for the same type of job from a different bank, due to some legal troubles. And I wasn't even charged with it. What's the correct terminology? I wasn't convicted of anything. I had pending charges. So, and it wasn't anything that even like remotely should have kept me from getting that job, but they felt that it did. And, you know, thank God, because I'd have still probably been at that place now, and I wouldn't be making as much as I make now. However, I probably wouldn't have had to move around like I have with the company that I work with now. So anyways, back to company now. So I accepted the offer for the job, and instead of me negotiating my salary like I should have, I didn't, because I was like, I don't even think they're gonna give me this job, so let me just say yeah and I accept the, you know, the $36,000 a year. I lived with somebody who made like $60,000 a year, and I made 20 something, and I knew what the $60,000 a year lifestyle looked like. So I knew 36 wasn't going to be a lot. But I knew that I know how to hustle. I know how to get extra income. So, and plus I knew 36,000 wasn't going to be a lot compared to the cost of living with things, because I'd already checked my rent prices and stuff like that. But I took the job because I was like, okay, I want a better quality of life for my child and I, so I'm taking this job. And if they don't give it to me, I'll just keep applying like I've been doing. It is what it is. So they called me back the week before I started, Easter was that Sunday, so they called me back that Friday and told me that it's like, everything's a go, you can come in, you'll start Monday, bright and early at 8:30, be here. Cool. So, I had already had a second job while I was working this job. I still work this job to this day. It's in retail. But it was like, you know, a little extra quick, little $50 here, $70 there, maybe $100 there, just depending on how many times I worked there. So I decided to keep that job. And I decided to go ahead and go forward with working for the bank. Because I don't know if y'all know me. And you probably don't know me because you're listening. And you probably, this is your first time maybe listening. Or this is maybe your third time listening and you don't personally know me. I like money. I like to feel comfortable. I like to be able to buy what I want to buy. Okay? So, I had two choices in this world. I could have continued staying with my dad because I had moved back in with my dad after my breakup from my ex. Or I could just get out here and get it out the mud and move. Of course, I chose the latter because I'm not 33 years old. I wasn't going to continue to stay with my dad. Well, I was 32 going on 33. I wasn't going to continue to stay with my dad, you know? That's not cool. I mean, and plus, I could have easily stayed with my dad and saved money, but that was like a toxic household environment. So I wasn't going to continue to do that. So in May, as soon as I got the job, I started looking for places to, like, live. I had been looking for places to live, but now I'm just, like, hitting the ground running because I make more money. I found a place, and it was $800 a month. That was, like, the best that someone could offer me, especially with two bedrooms, two bathrooms, close to the job I work at, close to where I gotten hired to work at. So I was like, okay, I want to make this work. And I did, but there was just one little thing, one little hiccup. I had this high car payment from Santander, also known as Satan. Yeah. So it was like $500-something, almost $600 for a 2017 Altima. And side note, if you are listening to this, I just want to tell you, do not. If someone tells you, we found a bank for you to finance your car, it's Santander, I want you to look at them and tell them in these words, these exact words, I don't need a fucking car that fucking bad. Pick that paper up, rip it up in their face, and throw it in their face. Because nobody should be financing anybody through Santander. Nobody. Literally nobody. There are other places that will approve you. Santander is like the last place somebody should go. So anyways, that's another story for another time. So, when I first started working with the company, I worked 5 minutes from the house. Or 5 minutes from where I live at now. But by 30 minutes from my dad's house. So, I told myself, I said, I've got to get some extra money saved up. So, I started working 3 jobs. And I was doing Bite Squad. And I literally would do that every day when I got off work. Except for maybe like sometimes if my son had like baseball games and stuff like that. So I don't think I'd work Mondays and Thursdays, I think it was. But the other day, I would change to my Bite Squad clothes in the bathroom, run out, and go to work. And it was cool. I was making money. So I moved in my apartment in like late June. Maybe I had been in my apartment like almost a month, maybe. It was middle of July, and my market leader, she came back from vacation. Well, not vacation, maternity leave. So she came back from maternity leave, and she was like, we found a home for you. And I'm like, where? Because I thought I had a home at the other branch. We're going to send you to Fairview Road. So I'm like, what? Fairview Road? Are you kidding me? So I was like, I'm not driving to Greenville every day. That's not Greenville. It's Simpsonville. I was like so upset because I was like, I just moved in my apartment. Do you not know how far that is every day for me to drive? But I went ahead and I did it anyway because like I can't quit this job. I just literally started this job, so I can't quit it. And I just got my apartment like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I can't do this. Like, I've got to work. So because I got sent to Ferry Road, that cut into one of my biggest sources of my extra income, which was Bike Squad. Because I don't know how Bike Squad is now, but back when I was doing Bike Squad, you were assigned to a certain area. And my area that I assigned myself to was Anderson. And I can't, because like, they don't have Bike Squad in Belton or Honey Pass. So I needed to be able to be in Anderson. So every day when I got off work, it was never enough time for me to get off work, go to Anderson, try to run and do my Bike Squad, and then be back in Honey Path to get my kid. Like, it wasn't gonna work. So because it wasn't gonna work, I would do Bike Squad on the weekends or every blue moon. Cause like, I couldn't get home in time to do my shift. Like, it just was cutting into my money. So, $800 rent. Sometimes $840. Sometimes, like, the rent fluctuates here all the time. Like, last month, I think I paid almost $900. But, $800 rent. Almost $600 car payment. $300 insurance. A kid in school. Playing sports. Having to have gas. Getting oil changes, being a single mom, it wasn't working for me. It just wasn't working for me. So, in that old wicked moaning of the owl, they came and picked up my car. So, yes, my car got repossessed because, like, I just could not keep up with the payments. The payments were horrible. So, you're probably going to ask yourself, or you're probably asking, well, why didn't you just get your car refinanced? I tried. Let me tell you something. Getting out of a Santander loan is like getting out of a deal with the devil. I'm not even laughing when I say that. I'm dead serious. This is why Santander has a class action lawsuit against them now. The practices that they had or have, because they may still be doing this, the practices that they had were just despicable. Like, they were giving cars to people who had no business having cars. And was I one of those people? Probably was. Or I think that guy just wanted to just flip and sell a car that day. Like, he lied to me and got me in that car. Like, this is why now I just do not. I tell anybody in a heartbeat, don't go to that dealership. And if you go to that dealership, do not deal with Pete Mazza. Yes, I said your name. So anyways, so yeah, I have been without a car for the last, oh God, this happened in November. So I've been without a car, since November. I was like sharing a car with my little brother. Like, I'll just use this car to go places if I need to. And a lot of times I'll just be like, hey, just take me. I don't feel like driving. But, like, I've had some awesome coworkers who, you know, take me home from work. Because, like I said, I only live, like, 2 minutes away. And that's driving time. Like, if I walked, it'd be, like, 10. But I only live, like, 2 minutes away. And when I worked at the other branch, which is 5 minutes away, I had some awesome coworkers who would take me home then. I've Ubered to work. Which now Ubers are kind of hard to get in the morning. So, like, I had a coworker who I'm filling in for now. Before she went on maternity leave, she's like, I go by your house every morning. I'll just pick you up. So, it's like, I've had to rely on the kindness of strangers. But they're not strangers anymore because we worked together for, like, a year. But that's how I've gotten to work. So, I'm thankful for that part of it. But, yeah, that's how I became the Black Broke Banker. And people will be like, oh, well, why don't you just budget your money and stuff like that? I've not been good at budgeting money since my grandfather died. Because with my grandfather, what I hated the most when I was younger was explaining to him why I had to buy stuff. But what it was doing was conditioning me to explain to myself, justify, why am I buying this? Why am I eating out today when I could be cooking something? Do I have the money to buy this? Like, questioning everything I bought. And I had my money, like, down to the T in my head. Like, I didn't have a fancy book of budgeting and stuff like that, but like, because I was younger and I had a better memory of stuff. But like, when my grandpa died, I was still like questioning myself, making myself, you know, because I was working on my credit then, and my credit got up very, very high. It was like probably the highest it had been ever. And got with my now ex common law husband, who does not budget anything. And you pick up people's bad habits, you really do. So I'm trying to break out of those bad habits now. And that's another part of this podcast. It's going to be you guys seeing how I'm going from being that black broke banker to being successful with, you know, good credit, buying a home. I'm going to let you guys journey through all of that. But when I told you guys I don't know what the premise is going to be of this podcast, I still don't know. I mean, I know that that's part of it, but I don't know if I want to do like a day in my life. I don't know if I want to do like, you know, fashion hauls, because you can't see a fashion haul through the podcast. You just can't. I don't know if I want to start a TikTok for this podcast. I'm just winging it. But I do know that I want my podcast, and I say cast what it is, to be, you know, sources of income. Because that's another thing I'm trying to do, is build residual income. And I'm trying to find fun ways to do it, but I'm trying to also find ways to, passive ways to do it too as well, where I'm not having to put like a lot of work in. So that's just pretty much it. And have I been looking for a car is probably your next question. Yes, I have. And let me tell you something, looking for a car with bad credit sucks. I thought I had knew how this whole process works of looking for a car with bad credit, but apparently I was on some Roy Jones stuff. I must have forgot, because it's rough. Like, my last car I got, my credit was like a 530 something. I don't know how my credit had got down to be that low, but it was low, and I don't know how it happened like that, but it did. But the car I got before that, my credit was like in the 700s, and I didn't have to do anything. Like, I literally just took the car that I had, traded it in. They kept the little $2,000 rebate that I got with the car for leasing it, and didn't have any issues. Like, my payment was a little bit higher than what it could have been if I'd had an 800 credit score, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't anything horrible. And the reason why it wasn't like bad was because the money I made at the time, and my ex paid like all the bills and stuff like that, so it wasn't that bad. But that $500 car payment, I had told myself, I was like, the day I leave here, I'm gonna make these first two payments, and then I'm going to refinance, because there is no way I'm gonna sit up here. There's no way I work this hard to go backwards and have a 29% flipping APR. There's no way I work that hard in life to have a 29% anything on anything. So my grandma is the one who co-signed with me, and she was even like, have you refinanced that car yet? And I finally had to break down and tell her one day, I was like, I tried to refinance this car. Nobody will refinance this car. Nobody. Do you hear me? Like, that's how bad Santander has, you know, jacked the price up and the interest rate and stuff up on it. So it's like, nobody wants to refinance. Nobody wants to touch a Santander loan. So yeah, that's pretty much it on that. But that's it, y'all. I don't really, let me see where we at right now. Let me see where we at. We at 28 minutes. The last podcast that I shot was, or recorded, I say shot, I used to do YouTube, y'all, so sorry. The last podcast that I recorded was 48 minutes. So this one is only right now just barely reaching 30. But I think that's it, y'all. That's just pretty much how I got to be the Black Broke Banker. I do want to let you guys know I'm not changing the name of this podcast. When I get out of this slump, I'm still keeping it this name, because I'm the type of person, I need to stay humble. Because if I feel like if I finally stay humbled in life, I won't have to go through these peaks and valleys anymore. Yes, I'm spiritual. Yes, I believe in God. I'm not gonna force my beliefs in God on anybody on this podcast. This is a safe space for anybody that wants to come and listen to it. So I would just say I do believe in God, yes. And I do feel like I need to stay humbled. And plus, I just want people to, you know, feel like they can relate. And I don't want this to be a place where you feel like you gotta stay broke in life. Because everybody deserves, in the richest nation in the world, everybody deserves to live comfortable. Everybody deserves to get out of that paycheck to paycheck life. Now, am I trying to get rich? I mean, it wouldn't hurt, but I'm just trying to live comfortable. That's what I'm trying to do. And I feel like everybody deserves to live comfortable. So this is going to be a place where we can all figure out how to live comfortable together. I have been working on my credit score, because I forgot to mention that earlier. So I have been working on my credit score, trying to get it up, because I do want to buy a house next year. And it's going up. It's going up like 55 points. And I think it's because I've been using self-lender. And I will leave the self-lender referral link. Yes, I said referral link in the show notes. Because, listen, I told y'all, I'm trying to build wealth here, okay? Or I'm just trying to live comfortable regardless of building wealth. I'm trying to live comfortable. So anytime that I find a way to make money, honestly now, y'all, I'm not going to just throw flat tummy tea at y'all. I'm not going to throw NutriBurst at y'all. I'm not doing none of that. This ain't that type of podcast. But anytime where I can just refer y'all to something and maybe make a little bit of kickback off referring it to you, because I truly believe in it, then I'm going to do it. Yes, I will do it. There'll be some stuff in there that I may not have even tried. There's no referral link to it. It just be like, hey, I seen this. This may help you. So that's it. I'm finna, I guess, head out. If y'all hear stuff in the background, it's my son playing whatever he's playing. Might be playing Fortnite or something. I don't know. The Madden demo. But his birthday is in like 2 more days. So he already over here thinking he bad. And he finna turn 14. But that's it, y'all. I really don't have anything else to say. So Black Broke Banker signing off. Peace.